You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Heart of Dixie After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Heart of Dixie After Show.
Ready? Where's the music? No music.
There it is.
Yeah.
Welcome back for Heart of Dixie. We are in Season 2, Episode 6, I Walk the Line. I'm your host, Whitney Lane, and I'm joined with fellow hosts
Paige Sullivan,
Christine Archer,
and Michelle Renee.
And we are lucky enough to have an actor and the director of this episode in studio, Tim Matheson.
Hey, how are you? Good to see you.
Thanks for having me here. Should be a great episode. We're going to get some good inside stuff from you, I hope, right?
Yeah, I won't. Break any
No spoiler alerts.
Okay,
but at least we can get some of the ideas of what it's like being an actor and a director.
Sure,
that's great. So we'll break down some of the topics. We'll go ahead and start with the election, because that's obviously one of the overarching themes in this episode. It starts with the debate. What did y'all think about the debate?
I liked it. I mean, I kind of liked it. I don't like Ruby. So, we all know I'm not a Ruby fan, and I was rooting for Lemon this episode, so seeing LaVon flirt with her was not my cup of tea, but it was cute to see him all tongue-tied.
I agree with Paige. I'm also not a Ruby fan, but, yeah, I think I agree that it was kind of cute to see LaVon. Well, even though, I'm not a Ruby fan.
I have a question for Tim. Is someone a Chicago Bears fan? Because the expression bear down kept being used throughout the campaign, and that's like the Chicago Bears...
Todd wrote this, so the question
is from Chicago?
I don't know, but I have to get that back to you on that one.
That's okay. Interesting. Yeah. I didn't even catch that.
Yeah.
It was funny, though. It's funny seeing Annabeth and Lemon kind of like in the background. Like,
That doesn't seem like them, right?
No, and they're so cute. Annabeth was so cute because she's so sweet and so lovable, and then she's back there like pretending to choke somebody out. She's like, oh, I watch MMA. I've been watching martial arts stuff. So it was cute to see. It was nice dynamics between everybody.
She's so wonderful, Caitlin Black. She's just... You know, we were so lucky with the cast. People come in and they, you know, like she came in for one episode or two episodes first season and was so good and fell into such a great rhythm with Jamie. And they just kept bringing her back and it got deeper and just bigger and bigger and bigger. And she's a wonderful, wonderful actress.
That's what it seems like. It's a great cast. I mean, we told you Claudia Leon. And,
oh, one of my
You know, it just seems
my daughter.
Like, yeah, it's your daughter. But no, it just seems like she just raved about how awesome everybody was to work with. And it seems like you all have a really awesome cast.
And it's one of those weird things, too, that because a lot of times, you know, the feeling that on the show the people have is all acting, you know, and they, you know, sometimes they don't even talk to each other. I directed a show once, I won't mention its name, but one of the lead actors wouldn't speak to each other off stage. On stage, they played scenes together, everything was fine. Off stage, they did not even speak to each other.
So strange.
You'd think that would affect it a little bit, though.
It was boo. But you know what? This show is so different because everybody really genuinely likes each other. It's just sort of like Bluebell, you know, which is kind of the town we all wish we lived in or grew up in or came from.
Whitney says this literally every day.
Seriously.
Isn't it true?
No, I mean, that's literally my town. It's so small. Everybody knows everything that's happening, so it's relatable, and it's good to see that. But it just it seems so nice and southern, and everybody likes each other.
And even with somebody like Zoe from New York, a Yankee coming down there, and everybody seems to find a way to get along, and at the end of the day, they, you're crazy and you're different, but we're all sort of nuts, so what the heck, you know?
That's awesome, though. That's good. Everybody gets along. Because, you know, that has to be fun to go to work every day and know that you're around people you want to hang out with.
Well, it's my favorite thing. I mean, because I've directed a lot of action shows and you know, Criminal Minds and Without a Trace and Cold Case and all these shows. And they were, after a while, you get, it's depressing because it's like murder here and a slaughter there and a kidnapping and geez. And then I started directing Psych and Burn Notice and did the pilot for Covert Affairs and White Collar and stuff like that. And it's more fun to do comedies because now you're laughing all day and everybody's having fun. And so it's just a different mood. Those other shows are great drama, but it's like after doing many, many episodes, it's like, let's just do the comedies. Right.
Well, that's cool, though, because you've dabbled in a lot then.
Yeah.
So you really get a good variety of different. So what was it like directing Heart of Dixie? We might as well just get right into it.
Well, it's so much fun. I mean, it's great because I know the actors.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a chance to just play, and they're so good, you really don't have to direct much. But, you know, and then it's just, you're like the coach on the sidelines, you know, you say, well, you got a chance here, you know, if you just do this, you can get another laugh here or something, you know, and it's just so much fun. And they're very supportive of me when I have to come in and act, you know, and my character, Brick, gets a chance to, I get act with Jamie 1 week, or I act with Rachel 1 week, or Scott Porter, or I haven't done too much with Wilson, a little bit with Kress, but with Claudia Lee, I got to do some stuff, you know, and it's just a different kind of thing with each of them, you know. So I'm very very lucky.
I was going to ask what is it like having to jump in and act when you're the director of the episode? Is that difficult?
It's wacky. I mean, it's because I wear shorts and a t-shirt, and you know, and I don't think about what I look like, and did I shave? I don't know. I mean, so when I'm acting, I have to go to makeup and get dressed, and it's usually clothes aren't that comfortable. When you're acting, when you're directing, you just want the best shoes, the most comfortable thing, because you're just on your feet for 12 hours. So it's a little different. I found myself like, what am I doing in these shoes? Oh, I see. I got to act. So it's tricky to be focused as an actor and not be distracted by directing. But fortunately, a lot of my first assistant director and some of the actors, I can just look at them and say, yeah, okay. And they go, yeah, I'll do it again. You know, try it. And so we'll play. And it's a very forgiving and warm atmosphere for all of us as actors.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's great.
That's got to be good. Yeah. Well, okay, I was going to also ask just about acting in general. I mean, it just seems crazy to get in there and just become, I mean, you have a southern accent. I was wondering what you're going to sound like when you came in here. How do you get in the mood for Brick Breland?
Well, first off, my mama was from Nashville. And so, I grew up with, and my grandmother was from Richmond, Virginia. And so I grew up with that sound around me. And my aunt Ellen Estelle, I was always surrounded by strong Southern women and crazy Southern uncles and aunts.
That's for sure.
So it really brought out a part of me. And that it was I found it just a part, you know, a deep part of me, and it brought up a lot of feelings when I auditioned for it and I got the part and when I did the first episode and it just resonated for me, and that's why I've loved doing this show. It's a real treat.
It must be nice, though, to be able to relate to a character like Lemon Breland and say, I know this person in my life, you know, this strong-willed, maybe kind of crazy Southern woman. She's a go-getter. I mean, I think all of us know this person in our lives, and that's what I like about Heart of Dixie. All the characters are, you know somebody.
You know, absolutely. And honestly, there's not another actress I know that could play that part like Jamie does. Because I think most times you'd find an actress, you wouldn't like her. You know, I mean, it's sort of Reese Witherspoon sort of's done it.
Yes.
You know, but it takes somebody really special because she can be so bitchy and so crazy and just, you know, and and yet you still like her and you still care about her. And you root for her. Even tonight you rooted for her, you know.
Like, I did. I couldn't help it. I feel for Lemon. You know, her relationship fell apart. And even though she was manipulative and she wasn't faithful to George, I still wanted her to win. I don't know. You're right. Something about her that's kind of endearing that you kind of, you want her
I'm
to
glad
win.
To hear you say that because I, you know, I play her father, so I give her a great, I, you know, it's my baby. I mean, it's like, she is sort of like that, but I love her, you know, so I didn't know it was just me or if the audience does too. And I knew the audience loved her, but And it brings up for me, I have two daughters who are 24 and 26, and so similar age. Lim's a little older, but it's like I know I have two girls. I have two girls in the show, so I, you know, a lot of the things that we do on the show, I've gone through or am going through. So it's like home to me.
Like a learning
experience.
Pretty
nice.
Yeah.
Are you kind of the same parent as Brick? Like, have you ever been that kind of like, you know, how he kind of is with Magnolia? He's just like, I'm not going to take you driving here. I can't deal with that.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. I mean, I've been a good parent, a bad parent, a negligent parent.
An
overly spoiled father and, you know, spoiled my kids. I'm real proud of my girls. They've done really well. My third child is off in college now. So, they're great. I mean, but it gives me a lot to play when I go to work.
That must be nice.
Yeah.
I mean, this show's got so many diverse characters and so many different relationships. Everybody has a relationship with each other, whether it's Brick and Wade, who's just his bartender, and like, you know, the town drunk and kind of man whore, I guess. I mean... But, I mean, it's nice to see...
She likes him.
Oh, yes. We are all Team Wade right here. We'll tell you that.
Good question. Team Wade or Team George for Zoe? I mean, you work closely with Zoe a lot in the show, so...
Well, It can't be George, because he should have manned up.
Right.
He should have just broken up with Lemon.
Right.
You know, I mean, you don't stay with somebody 15 years and then have confusion about whether you're on the wedding day. You putz. You don't have to do that.
Oh, at least you feel the same way we do.
I'm glad she hit him. I wasn't going to hit him.
Seriously, we were like, come on. We think George is a little too nice, which you could kind of see tonight. He steps up for everybody, even when Wade needs him. He goes in, and, I mean, obviously there's something going to happen, I think, between him and Tansy. We'll see what happens. But
predictions.
Yeah, I know. I can't say that. It was just, like, right there. But he's just the nice guy. He's always there. He's trying to date all these other girls. He's going to end up he's probably the monogamous type, I think. He'll end up settling down with somebody.
But what's great about this year as it's gone for George, especially now that he's free, he gets to be a much broader character. And so, and Scott gets to have more fun with him, and everybody gets sort of unleashed, you know. I mean, Lemon's off on her own, and I'm off, you know, I get out there, and, Magnolia, she's a hell on wheels. Who knows what's going to happen with her?
That's for sure.
The funny part was that when she actually came in here, her parents came with her, and
she's
her
15.
Dad was and her dad was talking. He's like, I'm trying to teach her how to drive right now. She's a much better driver in real life than she is in the show. But
yes, yeah,
it's good to know. It's kind of funny at all.
Yeah, I thought about that when I saw her driving tonight.
I wrote that down. Yeah.
Well, that was the main thing about that episode was that we had a whole meeting with Warner Brothers and Warner Brothers Legal and Warner Brothers Lawyers. Oh, my God, this girl, don't let anybody, she could hurt somebody, and Rachel's in the car with her. We're going to have to double her, you know. So we had a test scene where she came out and tried the car. We had the stunt coordinator there and all this going on. It was, and we're very safe. We have to be, because you have Rachel Bilson in the car with her. You know, God forbid she'd drive it through a wall. Who knows? I mean, we all, actors do crazy things when they're in a scene, and if you're thinking about your lines and you hit the gas, who knows? So, but she was fantastic. I mean, she is such a pro, because she's a singer and a performer. She's used to being in front of a crowd and in front of an audience, and so didn't faze her.
Well, that's good. And I'm glad nobody got hurt.
Me too. Not even a chicken.
That's what I was going to say. So what was it like when you had to, how did you all manage when you were directing to get the chicken to go the same way every time for Ruby?
They said, well, we have great animal wranglers. And, you know, so in prep, we get the chick, you know, we have the gags and you talk about what you want the chicken to do. Because they can, chickens can be trained to do certain things. There were like 11 chickens.
Oh, wow.
So you could swap out a chicken. Smart. You want the chicken to go straight here, you could get the chicken to go straight there. And seriously, basically what we did was we just put the chicken in there and shut, just kept rolling and then saw what the chicken did, you know, and then we put the next chicken in and then do it again. And it was really quick. But these are the best animal people that I've ever worked with. And for some reason, we're now starting a lot more animals in the show. And I got swans and goats in the finale episode last season. Swans and goats.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And it was, but it was great. They performed just like they were supposed to.
Yeah, I never thought about it, but you do have a lot of animals. I mean, you have Burt Reynolds, too.
Yeah, Burt Reynolds is there.
Yeah, and the armadillo that one episode. Yeah. I mean, those are some crazy animals.
We have a whole manger scene coming up for the Christmas episode. We've got There was a baby camel. There was a baby pig. It was like a petting zoo. It was amazing.
That's pretty nice. What a funny thing though with the election that you kind of decide who's going to win based on where the chicken walks.
Only in Blue Bell,
right? That can't happen anywhere. That is not real life.
That could happen at home in Virginia. I could see that happening. Maybe not in Charlottesville, but maybe in your town.
Who knows?
No, but it's nice. It's kind of funny after we got through this big election, like we were talking about before we started, to see the election in Blue Bell, which is so much. I mean, it's not simple to them. I mean, it's a real big deal to the people of Blue Bell. But for me, it was kind of, you know, oh, this is nicer to watch than what we were going through and the stress of it all. And this is more just people caring about other people.
It's true. And, you know, except the election is not over yet because there's still Arizona is still counting.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Shout out to Arizona. You guys just hurry up. You got till tomorrow night, I think. We're all waiting.
Yeah. Right?
I know.
Yeah. Pick it. Go out with the chicken.
Yeah.
There
we go. Arizona.
What's the deal?
I don't know.
Go
if they have chickens
Blue Bell.
In there. Maybe.
If somewhere. They don't get it by tomorrow night at midnight, we go with the chicken.
There
exactly.
we go.
You can send one from the show and send it to Arizona to make the decision.
And, yeah, let them go whichever way you'd like them to,
that's right.
to end up.
Come on, let's get it over with.
Now we all know how to do it if we have to vote for
that's
something.
That's right.
There we go.
Well,
gosh.
Luckily we all guessed that LaVon was going to win, and it was your vote. Rick's vote.
That's right.
That I was a little bit stressed. That clock was moving. I was like, come on. We were really rooting for LaVon because I don't know what it is about Ruby, but she kind of...
She
turned us off a little bit because we are now, like we said, rooting for Lemon a little bit more, which completely you're not.
No.
Go ahead.
I'm not rooting for Lemon. I mean, I'm rooting for Ruby and LaVon's relationship.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
More so. I'm not that I dislike Lemon, but I just like the idea of LaVon and Ruby together because, like he mentioned earlier, like the characters are kind of going off on different paths this season, and we've already seen the relationship between Lemon and LaVon a little bit, so I want to experience a different relationship.
And she's got a tough character because she's coming in. She's from Atlanta. She's a city woman. She's educated, and she's not a small town woman anymore. So it's a great contrast to what LaVon's used to, and so it does mix it up. And so their storyline does. You'll be happy.
I also.
Oh, look at that. Spoiler alert.
Man.
I also was a little shocked going back to the election when we did find out who won and LaVon won by a vote. When she was saying, you know, I really was going to hop the next bus out of here. And it kind of made me mad. Why do you want to be the mayor of a town you don't even want to stay in if you don't win? I mean, that's a poor attitude. And so I think that's what it is about Ruby. And she just wanted to win and prove herself. And without that, she didn't really care about
Blue Bell. I think she was going to leave because she had feelings
LaVon.
For him.
Yeah.
And she would have. It would have been too painful for her to stay. Hmm. So that's why she was going to leave. I think that was the implication. At least that's how I took it.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. I thought she's trying to... Because she's... You can tell. She puts up some walls. You know, she's confident and everything like that. But you can definitely tell there's all that history between her and LaVon. There's something there for her.
I love the scenes with her and Lemon. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
They are just... They go at each other. I mean... Dear.
Well, they're both firecrackers, that's
really?
For sure.
Yeah,
they're one and the same, honestly. But when they were going for that same guy at the bar a couple episodes ago, it's just funny. And it's but it's sad to see Lemon lose out again.
She'll win. She's got it. I mean, look, she got the guy from the bar. She's like, let me take my jacket off. I'll be a different Lemon. You know, she'll find a way. I'm not worried about her. It was nice to see her kind of vulnerable and wanting to share how she felt about LaVon because you don't see that much, but it's starting to happen. So it's good to look forward to.
I think Lemon's a completely different character than she was in last season. And I'm sure working with her, like, you can tell that as well because I was not a Lemon fan in season one. But now I'm not Team Ruby, sorry. But but yeah, no, I actually like Lemon now, which is a very big change, I think, from the first season.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's allowed to show more vulnerability, and I think especially what happened when George left, you know, and I mean, that's so shocking and so painful for that we immediately just totally empathize with her, and she sort of won. The people who didn't already love her, I did as her father, but the people who didn't, I think then went there, and she's such a wonderful, Jamie's such a wonderful actress, and compliments Rachel, mm-hmm. who is so not Lemon, you know,
right.
She's so open and just caring, and you know who she is, and neurotic and whatever.
Right.
You know.
She was so quirky in this episode. She's just so funny. And when she was pretending to lose connection with Brooke, I thought that was so funny. And she's not afraid to, you know, be that goofy person, the opposite of Lemon, who's so put together all the time and Zoe's all over the place.
It's, you know, what's so great is when I trust her so much, and that when we're shooting. I know she's great, and I, you know, we give as many takes as we want. So I'll make sure we have choices when we get into the editing room. And the thing about Rachel is she's so real and so subtle that you can just, there's so many things you see when you look at a take in a room without all the noise and action going on the set. There's so much more there that you can always cut to her. You could just say, let's see if there's a reaction, and there's five reactions in the space of 3 seconds that she'll do that are just tiny little things. You don't see them on a set in real life, but then when you look at them on film, it's like, boy, she's good. You know, I mean, she's such a star. She's so wonderful.
They all seem great. And I have to say, you mentioning that with the facial expressions, I feel like that's a big part of this show. Like Lemon this episode, when she's smiling, she's like,
yeah.
Hi. And it's like, those are the things that make me laugh every episode, because it's not what she said, it's how they react. And you know, deep inside, she wants to say something more than she does.
Because it's real.
That's so good. I mean, you know what's great? Because we don't do car crashes, and we don't do chases and murders and all that stuff
right
yet.
Magnolia's learning to drive. You never know what's going to happen.
But it's about the people. You know, I mean, I always used to joke about it. It was like Mayberry with sex, you know? I mean, it's Mayberry was a show way back when with Andy Griffith. So, I mean, yeah. But it was about a little country town. It was, you know, it was everybody was quirky and crazy, but it's that, Bluebell is that way, you know?
Yeah. It's nice to see that Zoe and Wade are still going strong.
We're rooting for that.
And they're fun. You know, I was nervous at first when they, you know, it's like, how are we going to treat their sexuality? Mm-hmm. And I looked at every CW show about, you know, and the clinches and the sex scenes. And how am I going to shoot this? Well, how do we want to shoot this, you know? And so we treated it at first pretty, you know, seriously and romantic. And now it's just fun.
Goofy. Like,
it's goofy fun.
Which Zoe needs in her life a little bit, you know? She takes it too seriously sometimes. She wants it to be perfect her whole life, you know? That's why I think she was going for George. Just have fun with Wade. Why not?
This looks good on paper. This is the way it should be. Let's do this.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. I think it's also nice, like you were saying, the CW shows, I mean, the Vampire Diaries and all those, they're so intense. And this is kind of like that happy place, like in the middle of my week, I go and watch Heart of Dixie, and it lifts you up, except for sometimes when, you know, people break up and then you get a little sad. But it's you know, it's a breath of fresh air.
But that keeps it real, too, because it's what you were all going through, something like that. Yeah. You know, we have our ups and downs, and it's so reflective of real life. Mm-hmm. And then they all sort of get over it by the end. And,
yeah.
It gets messed up next week.
See what happens. Yeah, see what happens on the next one. No, that's true. It's very relatable. I mean, even like you're talking about the facial expressions, it's like, I do that stuff, you know? I feel like I could just fit right on in there and be making those expressions with the rest of them.
She's writing a part for herself.
Come on down.
Right.
The texting with Magnolia, I thought that was very relatable. And with Brick and Emily, because I do that all the time. I'm like, oh, I'm waiting for a text from someone, and they're not texting me back. So, yeah.
Isn't that funny? Father daughter, kind of the same situation right there.
Well, especially, you know, if you're older and you haven't always been texting. I'm somebody like Magnolia's been texting her whole life. Right. Probably got a phone. How old were you all when you got a phone?
Like 12, 13.
12, 13. Yeah. It's usually the break. That's when my kids did, but I didn't know if it was even younger now.
It is probably. Now. It is now.
It's 8.
It's 8.
Probably, right?
No, it's like 7 or 8. It's crazy. My neighbors who are like seven or eight have phones, and I'm like, how do you know what to do with these things?
It's life now, technology.
Maybe sure, and they probably run rings around you.
Oh, yeah, they can work the phone better than
I can. I can't believe how fast people text. I mean, it's like my kid's just going to go, really, look out. But so, I mean, for a brick, it was kind of weird. It was like, you know, getting used to that connection with somebody, especially a new woman in his life, you know. But it's and the etiquette of texting is like, what happened here? You know, why didn't I get something back?
Yeah. I also liked how Brick kind of, you could tell his a little bit of his insecurity from his first wife and how she's probably left and she has a new family. You know, I can't go follow her. I thought that was a good, a good parallel to what happened with the first marriage.
Woo!
We're rooting for Brick now, though. It's time for him to be happy. He's got Lemon Magnolia. Let's get him. A woman in the
slum. I deserve, yeah, please, come on.
It's true.
Thank you.
I'm just glad Emily didn't die from the seafood allergy. I was a little worried for a second there, but
she made it out alive,
so that's good.
I know.
I had my handy EpiPen that I used to save her with.
So hopefully we'll see more with Emily then, because, I mean, long distance, I'm sure that'll be a whole another storyline to get to see kind of how that relationship develops.
Well, because, you know, we probably, you all probably had some kind of long distance, either college, and I must say, I'm so impressed how the young students today handle it. My son had I'm probably going to get in trouble with this, but had a college girlfriend, and they're very close, and she went off to a West Coast school, and he went to an East Coast school, and they were so mature how they handled it. They just said, after the first year, they tried to keep it together, and the second year, they just said, we're going to split.
Smart.
And we'll get back together or not, you know? And it was like, I saw it happening right in front of me, and it was like, oh, my God, that's so mature.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know how to pretend to do that.
No. I know. I think it's tough. Long distance, everybody tells you. It's not easy.
I know, and then you know what? I mean, at least for me, it didn't work out. So it kind of, you know, it just depends. I think if you're meant to be, you're meant to be. But in the end, it's kind of like, it's definitely tough. I mean, you learn about yourself. Now everyone's getting married a lot later. They're, you know, they've got careers to focus on now. So it is kind
of. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, you don't want to like, don't like cut yourself off, you know, hold yourself back in a way. So it's good that you kind of see those things. But we'll see about Emily and Brick then.
Yeah, yeah.
I know.
Because they're adults. We got, you know, at this time, at this point in your life, might as well just go with what you're feeling.
That's right.
You root for the parents, too. I mean, I know my mom was a single mom, and you want her to be happy, and you want them to find the person that helps them through. Because one day, all the kids are gone. Yeah. One day, Magnolia is going to hopefully move out. Maybe onto a boat like Lemon. Who knows? But then Brick will be home by himself, and who? I mean, they're going to be eating peanut butter a lot.
Yep.
Brick is going to be having a rough go of it. I don't know. I mean, you root for those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know who's going to do the laundry. You might have to learn. Someone's going to have to.
Yeah, at that point in your life, you don't have to do the laundry. You're in trouble. Except he probably, they have a maid, I think. Usually, in many episodes, we've had some kind of housekeeper or something. So I'm sure somebody does that.
The houses. I for some reason, LaVon's house this episode, I forgot how large they make it seem. I think, why does LaVon need that? Why does he live in this huge place? Like, this is crazy.
He's rich.
Apparently.
He's a rich football player.
Yeah.
Well, now, okay, here's a secret now. And then don't tell anybody.
Yes.
Okay.
But basically, there's one big house. Mm-hmm. Half of it is LaVon's house, and half of it is Brick's house.
Brick.
So there's the kitchen, the dining area, the front porch, the front door area, and his office. That's LaVon's. And then in Brick's, it was the foyer, and then the den, and the breezeway, which is sort of the outdoor porchway, and then the outside.
Smart.
And this season we've not use the front, the entry area so much. So they've converted that to Lemon's apartment and LaVon's bedroom and any number of things. And but that's all on one stage, all in one place. So literally if you walk from LaVon's den, you walk into the entryway of Brick's house.
I love that because when I didn't know about that kind of stuff and I was just growing up watching TV, I was like, man, where do they find these nice places that they use, these big apartments? We all know.
People think we shoot back in the South. They think we shoot in Alabama, and they think we shoot or in Wilmington, North Carolina, where a lot of shows shoot for the CW, and where we did the pilot. And remarkably, we shoot There are some second unit shots that are done there, certainly, but we shoot it at Warner Brothers on the back lot, and we have our stage, our stages. But
I've had people say that to me when I say I'm working on this show. Oh, they really shoot in North Carolina. It's so cool. And I'm like,
but it's great. We spend a lot of time and energy to make it look like we do, so that you can't tell. And the show is designed to shoot that way. And I must say that we have a great visual team and great crew, and they really work very hard to create that illusion, mm-hmm. that this special place. We shoot on the same set. There was a movie called The Music Man, mm-hmm. and yeah. After the play many years ago, Robert Preston and Shirley Jones were in it. Shoots right in the town square. Same town square we're shooting in.
That's what we were saying. True Blood's there. What else?
Gilmore Girls.
Yeah. Gilmore Girls. There's so many shows that use that town square.
And Pretty Little Liars.
Pretty Little Liars.
We read that one, too.
Somebody said Dukes of Hazzard did something there.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Duke shot there. And I'm trying to think what else. A bunch of shows. And features, too, and movies throughout the year. That's the great thing about shooting on the lot is that we shoot on a stage that I shot The West Wing on when I was on The West Wing, when I was vice president on mm-hmm. The West Wing. And I also, what were the other shows? I did, when I was a kid actor, I was in the last season Bonanza was on. It shot on the same stage we're shooting on now.
Wow.
And it was
that's kind of cool.
That was the Ponderosa, my God. You know, it was like, and it was, the continuity of shooting on a lot and on a studio lot is remarkable, because there's a plaque on the you mm-hmm. know, and you see all the movies that were shot here, and you know, Casablanca was on this mm-hmm. stage. Oh my God, you know, it's incredible. So it's there's a great sense of history, which I think helps us too with Bluebell, and it's a town with a lot of history, and so there's mm-hmm. a lot of emotion there. It's funny, so it's not as artificial as one would think it would be.
Yeah, it's good. It definitely looks authentic, you know. That's good. I feel like it's my home, right?
Good.
That works.
Good.
Why not?
I know.
I did also like Zoe and Brick's kind of interactions this week, because they always have that tension, but it was really good that Zoe kind of came in and helped you out a little bit. I thought that was kind of a good, just a diversion from what's usually the relationship.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a treat. We, you know, we sit down the week before we start shooting, while we're shooting the previous episode, 2 days before we start shooting the new episode, we sit down and read it at lunch with all the cast and director and all the creative people, and we sit down and read it. And rarely does that happen anymore, but we all love the characters and love the work so much, it's like, oh gosh, we can't wait to get there to find out what's going to happen. And usually something new about your character is revealed about all of us, you know, and you have a scene like myself and Rachel or with, you know, I'll have a couple of episodes I've spent more time with George. Mm-hmm. George and I, he's helped me out of a jam in this last episode we just shot. And it's so much fun, because all of a sudden they'll reveal and create a whole part of your character that is new. And it's like, wow, okay, that's going to happen. All right, let's do that.
That's going to be fun to act. I mean, for acting that way and kind of getting to change it up, you know?
Yeah. And they do. They listen to the actors and they pick up on it. And especially with, you know, like, say, Golden, who plays Ruby, and Caitlin, who plays Annabeth, when they first started, they have such an ear, and the writers do. They'll find little things that you do or say, and they'll pick up on it, and you'll come back in the next episode, and they'll highlight that, and they'll elaborate on that, mm-hmm. you know, or pick up like, no, you know, like,
yeah.
you know, press came up with that. Then they found it, and they just kept writing it to your strengths, and it's wonderful. I mean, it feels really good.
Yeah, that's nice. What is the shooting schedule like for you all? Like, are you there every day, or how many hours? You know, just so people, other fans of Heart of Dixie know kind of how much.
Well, you know, there's so many different parts of a show.
Mm-hmm.
So I think typically we shoot for 7 days, you know, so we shoot like a week and a half,
mm-hmm.
Which is about normal for a show like this.
And that's one episode?
One episode.
Okay.
And then a director preps the 7 days before that. So a director preps the 7 days prior, and then the 7 day shoot, and then 7 days of editing,
mm-hmm.
post-production for the director. And most of us are there depends if you're heavy or light in an episode. If you're light, you might be there 1 or 2 days.
Right.
If you're heavy, you'll be there 5 days, maybe 6 days sometimes. But usually you get a break because, oh, Zoe and Wade are off. So the day they're going to do that, you're off.
Right.
You know, and or Lemon and Caitlin, or Lemon and Annabeth are doing something, and so Zoe will be off. So it's staggered, and it's remarkable that that Rachel actually gets time off.
Yeah, you know? That's nice to have some flexibility there just for...
Yeah, you could have a life.
Yeah. That seems great, right? Ideal. Perfect world.
And when first starting to watch the show, and so much of the first season, it really, really did focus on Zoe. She was the main character, and she still is, but I feel like these other characters really hold their own. They're not just the sidekick or, you know, the next-door neighbor. They're people that you grow attached to. Like we're saying, we're rooting for Lemon. She's rooting for Ruby. It's not so much the Zoe show. It's everybody means something in the show, which I think is really nice.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me, there used to be a show called Ally McBeal, I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
But it reminds me of a show like that, where really what's happening, it's an office where people are nuts, they're all crazy, but within the confines of that, they're finding ways to get along and to learn how to work with each other and have a good time and get what they need out of their life. Mm-hmm. And so it reminds me of that in many ways, and it's funny and charming, and also I like the music.
Yeah, I love the music.
I'm a country fan.
Me too. Yeah. Oh, obsessed. I know, I love it. I'm like, who's that this week? That's great. So for fans watching at home, head to iTunes and rate and comment for us. Let us know what you thought about this episode, especially with the director sitting here with us. And also head to AfterBuzz TV to check out all the other shows that you might be a fan of. We got a huge lineup. We got some more coming for you, so definitely be looking out for that. Now, what else? We want to kind of know what else you're going to be up to.
Gosh, I mean, I am prepared. I'm going to go to work not tomorrow, but the day after tomorrow. And so I have a leisurely schedule this week. And I'm getting, so between all that, and what I do is, as an actor, I'll spend 3 or 4 hours a day just working on scenes and just playing them in my head and rehearsing and actor's note. I actually use my iPhone and I take a recorder and I'll record the other characters' lines, leave spaces where mine are. And then when I'm driving the car, I just turn my iPhone on and then I'll just play the scene.
That's
while
smart.
I'm driving, you know. And so I'm doing that, and Thanksgiving is coming, so I'm getting ready. My kids are all coming. I'm newly divorced 2 years, so I get them this Thanksgiving, so they're all coming. Two from the East Coast. My other daughter lives out here, so we're all going to get together at my new place down at the beach and have Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving at the beach. Sounds nice.
I got a stand-up paddleboard lesson for us, a sailing. We're going sailing one day, going out to dinner and bike rides and just stuff.
That sounds fun.
Yours sounds much better. We're all going back to the cold.
Yeah. I know. You're going back. You're going the other way.
But sounds great.
At the end of the day, all we want to do is have a bunch of food with family.
Exactly.
And get into big arguments.
Right?
Because that's what you do.
It is.
Right?
Every Thanksgiving.
On the way back, Jesus, I can't believe I do this every year. They're nuts.
You get excited for it every year, too. And then it happens again. You're like, it happened again. It happened. It was awful. So bad.
Do you all, Ned, do you have relatives that are you don't see after, and then all of a sudden here they come, and oh my God, don't talk politics. Don't get into that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's always me and my little sister. It's like we butt heads as soon as we come back. You know, she was in the house for 4 years alone. You'd think that it would be fine when I come back to get a little attention, right? Oh, we butt heads hardcore, but it's fun.
It's funny how nothing changes. Mm-mm. It just goes right back. And if you're adults and you go home and all of a sudden you're just a little girl, you know, you're just a baby girl. Like, oh, there's my baby girl. It's like, stop it.
Yeah. Oh, the holidays.
I don't mind it all the time.
Yeah, you can take a little.
At least for a little bit longer, right?
Yeah.
I know.
So will we be looking forward to some more episodes that you're directing for Heart of Dixie?
Yes. I've done two so far this year, and I will do the finale episode, which is the 22nd. Okay. So I've been lucky enough to get the bigger episodes, you know. And it's really fun because I know they'll build up to something big, and I just, it's such a treat for me. I get to do two of the three things that I love the most, and I won't talk about the third, but to act and direct, you know, on a show with people I love and written by people I love, and it's just a dream come true. I couldn't be happier.
In the future, awesome. Do you hope to continue doing more acting or directing or some of both?
I was predominantly just directing. I'd sort of pulled away from acting and gotten into directing. And I must say, I'm sort of reborn as an actor. I mean, I'm having so much fun and learning so much that it's revitalizing. I mean, I sort of went into directing because, you know, because I started out as a kid actor, so I've gone through different age groups, you know, and as you get into different age categories, the parts are bigger, smaller, better, or more challenging, or less challenging. And I got to a point that, after being a leading man for so long, and now the parts weren't that interesting, so I got into directing and producing. And now, on a show like this, it's just so rewarding and so much fun to be an actor again. I've seen it for a lot of for performers after they get to a certain age. The parts get better, so they're getting better again. So hey, bring it! I mean, I just now I'm having so much fun as an actor, and a director is exhausting. It crushes you. I mean, I used to just sleep 4 or 5 hours a night for a month while I'm doing a show, and then crash after I was done. God forbid if you're lucky enough to have show after show after show, it's like you sleep on the plane going to the next location. So I must say I'm loving being an actor, and I'm loving how much fun I'm having doing it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's nice you can do both. You get the best of both worlds, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Very nice.
Well, should we get into some news and gossip? Mm-hmm. I think it's time.
AfterBuzz TV News.
I just have a little bit for you guys today. All right. So November 10th, a few days ago, Rachel Bilson actually celebrated the one-year anniversary of ShoeMint.com, which is her online shoe website that she has with designer Nicole Chavez. And you can go online, sign up. You get a pair of shoes each month, one of those type deals.
So I need to be doing that.
Yeah. We always talk about how great Rachel Bilson's style is, and apparently we can have a little piece of that. And, of course, Jamie King was there at her one-year anniversary party in West Hollywood, and so was Lauren Conrad. So
stylish people.
LC,
love it.
Jamie King told E! Online this past week that she has three rules for entertaining. She's a homebody and known for being that. So her first rule is to mix well, invite a fun group of people that don't necessarily know each other, but will make good conversation. Number two, stock up on marshmallows. Yes. says that making s'mores by the fire is a fun way to have fun at a party. And then number three, get in the game, stock up on board games and have them ready for your party. And my last little bit of news and gossip is, of course, what we all saw on the teaser for next week's episode, the moment we've been waiting for, Olympic gold gymnast Michaela Maroney is
going to
be on the show next week. So that's all I have.
Did you get to work with her at all when she was on the show?
No, I wasn't there that day. She was written in the script, and you never know if it's going to actually end up being her, or she could make it, or how it was going to work out, you know. But I'm thrilled that she was there.
Y'all are having a lot of good guest stars. I mean, Michaela, and then you had Laura Bell Bundy. It's kind of...
Laura Bell is coming back.
That's what we heard. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what she has in store for us.
She's crazy.
She's so funny. She's in Africa right now, entertaining the troops.
Oh,
that's
nice.
Awesome.
I know. She's great. She's such a fabulous performer. I mean, we're blessed the people we get on this show. And she's like, so we're going to shoot all of her scenes in one day next Monday.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We'll look forward to it.
I know. I'm excited. Okay, it's time for predictions. You might have to help us out. You might know some. I mean, he definitely knows stuff. I already said one of mine. George and Tansy, something's happening.
Woo. Yeah, that was my prediction.
I don't know how I feel about that, but, I mean, what can you do? We got Wade and Zoe together. George and Tansy. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, he likes the blondes. He likes the blondes.
He does like the blondes. And Tansy, Tansy seems crazy, but not as crazy as the last.
Who's sane in this town? I mean, right? Are there any sane ones, really?
To be honest, I don't think anybody in this world is sane. You just keep it at home. You know?
You keep it together.
You keep the crazy at home and put on a face for when you go out. Along the relationship lines, I'm thinking now that this Ruby Luvon thing's happening, there has to be a new guy for Lemon. She has to maybe take the plunge and, like the guy at the bar, do something differently because everything she's doing now isn't really working out. So I think maybe in the next couple episodes we'll see something happen for her.
Yeah. She needs a new man.
He's trying to keep his poker face on.
I think, I think that somebody does recur that she knows, and so she has that. But I don't. I'd love to see the next big love of her life. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I think that she's obviously very passionate about life. And she needs somebody to, you know, like, dump that on.
Yeah. I still think she needs some time to be single. Hopefully we'll see. I mean, you know, she's, because now she likes LaVon. Like, she's focusing her energy on someone. Like, focus it on you, girlfriend. Go.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're
so
right.
So we'll see.
I wonder what Lemon's next job will be. Because we were talking, she kind of failed at the waitressing job. She tried,
absolutely.
But that was definitely not her calling in life. And now she planned LaVon's campaign, so she needs to move on to something else. I guess we'll see what she decides to do.
Well, Christina, it's good. I mean, because it may be something she's done before, and you know,
I know she is 30, which I had no idea that she was 30 years old. Like. Her character.
Yes.
And so I guess, you know, we've missed a few years of her.
And I think what you said, you know, about Michelle, about her being, about entertaining, it may have something to do with that.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. Interesting.
She could be like the party planner for Hello. Football, right?
Maybe. That totally Maybe. Would be perfect.
You know what?
I
have kind of a random question for you. Do you know, we talk about this every week, the fact that clearly in this episode, going back to the election, every vote counts because Bluebell is a very small town. How many people are supposed to be in Bluebell? Do you know? Because we've tried to figure it out before. I think there's like maybe tops like 50. I've only seen at the party. Well, I don't know.
And there's no kids. So, I mean, every now and then we'll have little kids downtown. I would say in Bluebell, 8,000-10,000?
Yeah, like my town.
12,000 people,
Super
you know.
Small.
And then, but then it's, as you spread out, there's people, you know, that sometimes come into town and sometimes don't.
Right.
And plus, Mobile is really close, right? So they kind of mix them.
Yeah.
Now we have 10,001 with Tansy, at least, right?
Yeah.
Well, she's 6 feet out there.
Is that too big? Is that too big for Bluebell? I mean,
I feel like it would be smaller. I don't know why.
Even like 4,000 or 5,000?
Yeah, I honestly feel like there'd be like one or two stoplights in that town. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No stoplights.
Not really anywhere to go. So I don't know. I know we're always like, wonder how big it actually is.
It depends on the episode, I think, it's really.
Yeah, definitely.
Any other predictions?
No.
I think
That's
we covered
all I
them.
Had.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. So we kind of wrapped up that episode pretty well. Thank you for joining us,
boom.
Tim.
Thank
we appreciate it.
You guys are so much fun.
Where can people find you on Twitter or your website or anything like that?
Tim, I'm at Tim Matheson on Twitter. And I'm on Facebook as well.
Oh, perfect.
And I'm out there.
Yeah. And comment, and we'll try to figure out any other things that you want to know.
Yeah. Bring it.
Yes. And I'm Whitney, at Whitney Lane 1118 on Twitter.
And I'm at Paige Sell on Twitter.
I'm at C. Archer on Twitter.
And you can follow me at Michelle Renee LA.
Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Yay.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.